Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Let's face it, in our busy lives, we don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. In fact, according to the CDC, only 1 in 10 Americans are eating the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables each day, missing out on essential vitamins, minerals, fibers, and antioxidants. And that's where Balance in Nature comes in. Balance in Nature sources only the best produce, free from pesticides, heavy metals, and harmful bacteria. And Balance in Nature is the best fruit and vegetable product on the market. They use only fresh whole fruits and vegetables inside each capsule. They don't use any GMOs, fillers, binding agents, or preservatives of any kind. You're getting real food, real science, real nutrition. I would never endorse a product that I don't use myself, and since using Balance in Nature, I feel more alert, I have more energy, my focus is sharper, and I feel great. Live life to the fullest and choose Balance in Nature. And guess what? PAS Report listeners can get 35% off the first preferred order. Start getting the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables you need by using code PAS at balanceofnature.com.
Welcome to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup Podcast. The PAS Report provides an honest analysis on the critical issues that matter to you without the biased media filters. Here's your host, Professor Nicholas Giordano.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the PAS Report Podcast. This is your host, Nick Giordano. Another great episode lined up for you. And I actually have good news to report. I know there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, and I've given heavy focus to the Attorney General's memo that tries to portray ordinary parents as domestic terrorists. I've given an enormous amount of focus to the National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. And it's important to realize that this was actually a major fail on this administration's part. And it's thanks to all of you out there. The Attorney General's memo only served as fuel to the passions that we're seeing out there, where parents are going out, they're defending their children against these totalitarians. The memo was designed to scare and intimidate you. It was meant to intimidate parents into silence, and instead, it's energized them. In fact, so many parents are speaking out that 18 state school board associations have reputed the National School Boards Association, and they've dropped their affiliation with the NSBA. And the list is continuing to grow. It truly is amazing. This is what happens when ordinary Americans get involved. So you need to keep speaking up, speak out, because you make changes when that happens. You put these people in their places. And I'm going to tell you now, this has become one of the biggest issues in the Virginia governor's race. And it should be a major issue in all races. But if Terry McAuliffe is defeated in Virginia, and to a lesser degree, if Phil Murphy loses the governor's seat in New Jersey, it's going to be a political earthquake out there, and let's hope that can happen. Democrats have opened up Pandora's box, and we see it on a number of issues, because it's not just with the parents and the school boards that's going on. We're also witnessing the opening salvo of the Democrat Party's internal civil war. You had Senator Bernie Sanders, who wrote an op-ed excoriating Senator Joe Manchin for his lack of support at a $3.5 trillion social welfare bill that is nothing more than a socialist wish list. But Manchin fired back, and it was hysterical if you read the article. He said, quote, "I don't take orders from a socialist," and good for him. Good for him. You know, Republicans would be smart to try and woo Senators Sinema and Manchin to switch parties. That would be huge. That would be great. In any event, I don't want to take up too much time because I have a great guest coming on. Billy Prempe is part of the changing faces of the Republican Party. He is someone who served this country with honor in the United States Air Force. He's now running for the 9th Congressional District in Paterson, New Jersey. He's made significant gains, significant gains. I'm bringing him on to discuss how the Democrats have used race as a political weapon to keep their stranglehold within the urban areas, including Billy's district. I want to discuss the deep satisfaction that we're seeing in the black community towards the Democrats and what Republicans need to do to start to win over these urban areas. Before I bring Billy on, make sure you go to PASReport.com, sign up for the PAS Report newsletter, follow the podcast so you never miss an episode, share this podcast with family and friends, and take 30 seconds to give the podcast a 5-star rating and write a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, post it in the Spotify Ideas section community, any way you could get it. In any event, I want to bring in Billy Prempe to the PAS Report. Billy, it's so great to have you here. How are you today?
I'm doing good, brother. Thanks for having me, Nick.
Well, I'm glad you're here because there's a lot of important issues. And when it comes to taking back Congress, I think that it has now become a necessity that we have to stop the madness that we're seeing. And so we need candidates like you stepping forward. So my first question is actually a tweet that you put out there where you talk about some of the solutions to the problems we face. And you mentioned school choice, good parenting with fathers present in the home, as well as personal responsibility. Now, to the left, these are like all taboos you're not supposed to be speaking about. So just give me an idea of why these are so important, particularly to your community.
The reason why I believe these are important, especially with the African-American community, is if you were to look at the average African-American household in the 1950s or even prior, one thing that they all had in common was they all had, well, for I should say at least 80 to 90% of these families had two parents in the household. And statistically, it has shown that children that are locked up and are in juvenile, they tend to come from single parent households, most of the time with the father not being present. Having two parents helps to build a strong, stable structure and for the family. And not only that, access to high quality education. When you don't have access to high quality education, you're not going to be able to have access to alternative opinions and alternative information that could make your life better and put you in a better situation. In places like Paterson, where I live, there's little to no opportunity. Many of the people don't have a high quality education that they should, regardless of how much is being paid in taxes. And a lot of people turn to the streets, unfortunately. There's violence that's become rampant out here. Drugs have become rampant. And it's because some people feel they don't have any hope. They feel like there's a not much left going for them. And what I feel is the best way to fixing this is giving parents the opportunity to choose where their children get their education. It shouldn't be limited to just a zip code. Democrats will say when you stand for school choice, you're wanting to take money out of the school district and give to other districts. That's not necessarily true. At the end of the day, it's the parent that wants what's best for their children. No government should have any control over what the parent wants to do for their child. If a parent is willing to spend thousands of dollars a month to drive their child to Manhattan and go to school in Manhattan, they should have the right to do that. I mean, they shouldn't be limited because of where they actually live. But I'm not just all for school choice. I love school choice, and I think that the way the system is, it could be better. I want to also make the public schools better because I don't believe in just abandoning the public schools. We have so many children that are in there. Some of them don't have the luxuries of being able to go to choice schools or other places. But what I think we can do is we can make the curriculum better in a lot of these public schools, starting with the high schools. Because you're one step towards being an adult at that point. We have a tremendous jobs gap in this country where we've got people from overseas coming in and they're filling up jobs here because we don't have enough American youth filling these jobs up in the electrical fields and the IT fields, financing, health, and so forth. These are all fields that we have a young and eager generation that they could be filling up. And what I would like to do is partner with business owners, businesses that have years of experience in these specific fields, and have them work in our schools, have them have one of their best guys teach our students how to do what they do, and give that business a tax incentive for doing so. So by the time these children come out of high school, that's 4 years of an education they've got in a very specific trade, not just theory that a teacher is taught, but an actual expert, someone who's actually in the field, is teaching the children how to do what they do. I think it's a win-win for the student. They get a better career skill set that they can use when they get out of high school. It's good for the schools because the schools don't get defunded. The public school curriculum becomes better. And there's a lot more of a reason for public schools to compete. This one has an electrical program. This one has a finance program. This one and so forth. And it's win-win for the parent as well, too, because a parent has the ability to choose where their children get to go. If you want to go to college, that's totally fine. If you don't go to college, you still got skills to fall back on. And it's one less opportunity. I mean, it's one more of an opportunity for you to have than to just turn to the streets and make the wrong decision.
And you bring up such a great point, because I think that there's not enough Republican candidates. There's not enough any candidates, Democrat or Republican, that actually speak to what you just said. And it's something I've been harping on for years, where you have particularly the high tech industries saying we have to import all these foreign workers because Americans don't have the experience and the knowledge to do these jobs. And I always said, I mean, these tech companies have billions of dollars. Why don't they work with the public schools in the inner city neighborhoods, the schools that are crumbling, and build out hubs where they could teach those children? And not only would those children gain in knowledge and experience, but these, we're not talking about minimum wage jobs here. We're talking about jobs that you can raise a family off of. That's really important. So I think that's really important. But as far as schools go, we now have the Biden administration essentially labeling parents as domestic terrorists if they start to complain to a school board because parents don't like their kid wearing a mask for 6 to 8 hours, or they don't like the critical race theory being indoctrinated. So you were talking about curriculums. What do you think about critical race theory? Also goes by diversity, equity, and inclusion, and so many other different names and vernaculars they use to push us off. What do you think about those topics?
I'm not a fan of any of that stuff. For example, when I was a kid, we were taught civics, right? We learned about our government. We learned about how our country was founded and how it was created. And we learned history to learn a lot about our country. Every history class that I've ever been in, I was also taught that, you know, America comes from a pretty dark past, but look at where we are now. You know, it was always taught from the perspective of we didn't have a good past, but we've advanced tremendously in such a short period of time. Compared to all the countries of the world, for example, and Italy and Rome has been around for thousands of years. This place has been here a long time. Egypt has been here thousands of years. America's only been here about, 325 years, maybe a little bit longer. It's a very young country. And compared to the rest of the world, America is a baby. And regardless of all those facts, the whole world looks to America, and we literally just got here. We've made advancements where we practically ended world slavery. Even though America has a history that started slavery, we were the ones that ended it. All around the world, people were slaves. And so the founders of this country, they wrote our constitution in such a way, they wrote it for a country that didn't even exist. Most of the people that signed that constitution didn't even get a chance to live to see the constitution even go into fruition. You know, a lot of them died even fighting for the country before the formation of it all. You know, we're not perfect, but we're as close as perfect of a nation that they wanted at that point. And what critical race theory does is it teaches you that, well, you're Black, this person's white, this person's Hispanic, and there's systemic issues as to why we can't get along. And these people harmed you. Well, we should make people that have nothing to do with their forefathers guilty for things that happened to you. And all it really does is it sows division. You know, if I wanted to take down a country, like let's say the United States, you can't do it with guns and weapons and all these things. We're just way too armed. We're way too sophisticated. We're from a culture of war. Our country, we're warrior people. If you want to destroy a country like America, you have to destroy from within. And the best way to do that is to divide the people themselves. The concept of America shouldn't exist. We're people from many different natures, I mean, different cultures, different societies, different ideologies, all gathered together in one place, unified under a document called the United States Constitution. It makes us all one people, Americans.
And that's what makes the United States unique and special, that we are all these different peoples from all these different places that come together and actually coexist well together, where in other countries, if there's different peoples, there's usually tribes and there's usually war. So we're different. And CRT is looking to do just that, to tribalize us, to factionalize us in certain ways. And the amazing part is they always say, well, if you don't like CRT, well, then you don't agree with teaching the truth about American history. Now, I've been teaching college for 15 years. And I have tons of students that come into my class and they've never read the Constitution. They've never read the Declaration of Independence or anything, any American documents they've never read. And I say, why aren't we teaching that? Instead, we're teaching nonsense that's theoretical. Critical race theory is theory. So realistically, it shouldn't even be taught to children because you don't teach 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds theory. They can't have that critical thinking skill set in place yet to be able to understand it. But yeah. There are a lot of people rejecting the idea of critical race theory, and it's across races. It's across communities. There are Blacks that are opposed to it. There are Hispanics opposed to it, Asians, whites. So we're seeing this unification. Are you seeing major changes in the Black community because of things like critical race theory, because of what's taken place over the course of the last year and a half where lockdowns existed, mostly in the urban centers in a lot of Black areas? Schools weren't in place. It was distance learning for like a year and a half in the already crumbling public schools in those areas, where parents were already struggling. Are you starting to see pushback from the Black community to say, hey, Democrats, you've been in power for 50 years. What's going on here?
Not necessarily pushback, but what I am seeing is a lot of checking out. A lot of people in the inner cities I'm noticing are just not invested in voting anymore or even doing anything politically. And I think it's because, for one, they've been voting Democrat for many, many years. But the Republican Party is not innocent in this either. The Republican Party has done literally absolutely nothing to paint a different narrative or show an alternative side of what representation could actually look like.
Yeah, they've surrendered these areas.
Yeah. And because they've done that, when you voted Democrat over and over and over and over and over again, and the Republicans don't come here, I guess the Republicans don't care. So what's the point in voting? I'm not even going to waste my time. Look at what they're doing to our schools, look what they're doing to our tax, look what they're doing. There's nothing we can do, no hope, and it is what it is. But that's a little bit of a benefit for me, because for myself, when I go out and I talk to people, they're even shocked that I'm a Republican. It's like, wow, there's a Republican on my front door, and he looks like me, and he lives in the same city as me. This is very interesting. This is a dynamic you don't really see every day. And now there's a door that's open. They want to know, why are you a Republican? What do you stand for? What are your beliefs? Why should I listen to you? You know, why you and not the other guy? Well, you've had the other guy for 26 years as congressman. He was your mayor prior to that. He was your state assemblyman prior to that. And he was on the board of ed prior to that. He spent his entire life in politics. He's 86 years old. He no longer represents us. You know, he is out for his own pockets. He's out for his own personal gain. He promises a couple of people a jobs just so that he can stay in power. But what has he done for you? You voted this. Like, honestly, ask yourself this. You voted this way for 26 years, longer if you count all the other seats. And you haven't seen any positive changes. We have different mayors. We've had different council people. We've had all. One thing they all have in common is they're all Democrat. So we can't blame this on Republicans. We can't blame this on the mythical KKK that's supposed to be making all the problems in our inner cities. We can't blame that on the police. Our police are underfunded. You know, we can't blame the high taxes on Republicans, even as all Republicans want to raise their taxes. It's Democrats that have controlled this place this entire time that are raising the taxes. So who's really to blame here? Our school systems are failing. Why is that in the suburbs on the outside where the Republicans are? Why is it that they're doing well and we're not doing well over here? So it opens up a door that's never been opened before. And it's easier to have a dialogue and say, well, Republicans, they just care about themselves. Like, based on what narrative? You've never met one.
No, they haven't. The amazing part is, you just said your opponent is 86 years old. He's been in power for quite a long time. And when you look at your community, so as far as Black Americans go, the median age of Black people in the United States is 28. It's much lower. The median age of a white person is actually 58. For Black people, it's 28. Can an 86-year-old who's been in office pretty much his whole life, can he really, really be in touch with the constituents he's serving?
No, he's fallen asleep quite a bit. And I don't say that to make fun of him, but he actually is.
And you're talking literally.
Literally, no, he's literally falling asleep quite a bit. Like this guy's asleep at the wheel, and he doesn't care if it goes off a cliff or not. He's going to ride this car until the wheels fall off. I don't see him trying to stay out of the way. When in reality, what I see is best is for him to retire. Even if you want to let a younger Democrat try and run, sure. But you, your time is definitely sunset. And you're not really speaking on behalf of the people like you should be anymore. And I'm a young guy. I'm 30. I keep saying 31, but I'm 32 now. I'm 32 years old. I'm young. I've got my whole life ahead of me. There's a lot that I believe I could bring to the table that is more in tune with this current generation, because the policies that our past have made, we are going to have to deal with that. We are the ones that are going to have to pick up that burden and pick up that slack and navigate this situation when it's all said and done. That's something that's kind of a scary thought, because Pascrell, at any point, he could retire. God forbid he passes away. He's 86. He's lived his life. He's seen the entire American dream. He's seen the boom of the 80s, the 90s, all that stuff. And I'm 30. You know, I've barely got a chance to fully live my life. And it's our generation that we're going to be the next presidents, the next congresspeople, the next senators, the next leaders of our future. And that's if we step up. And I don't see too many stepping up. I decided to step up. And thankfully, there's a lot of people that look to me as like, wow, Billy, you're doing a great thing. And I would tell them, listen, man, you can do a great thing. You have to be the next person. Like, this isn't the only Billy can do this. I can't do this by myself. You know, like I'm walking in there, I'm walking into a swamp all alone, and I need a lot of help. I need a lot of help, and I need other people to step up and handle their responsibility, because we're the young guys. We're the ones with time left, which means
we're the ones that have to suffer through the consequences of everything that they've done. I mean, the reality is, and I'm talking both Republicans and Democrats over the last 30 years have forgotten who they serve. They forgot that they represent the American people, and they essentially sold us out to a large degree. And so we're going to have to suffer through the policy, the consequences of their policies. And there's no accountability. I mean, you know, like you said, 86 years old, and what accountability is he going to have when the policies blow up? Some of them have blown up already. It's going to be on us. Now, you actually ran for the same seat in 2018. You got nearly 100,000. 2020. I'm sorry. So you got nearly 100,000 votes. Now, I do research before I bring guests on, and I looked all the way back to the early 90s in this congressional district, and Republicans never got more than 65,000 votes. And that's being nice. There's only like maybe two of them added at 25-year period that actually got close to 65. You got nearly 100,000 votes, and you did it without any support from the Republican Party. Is the Republican Party now starting to give you support? Have they reached out to you at all?
They have not. They have not. And that really shows me, that shows me one thing. There's no intention to win here. That's literally all that it shows me. Because when I started looking at the numbers are a little bit different now. But in the 2020 session, I was looking at it and I said, okay, there's 69,000 total Republicans. And like you said, the most anyone's ever gotten was 65,000. So the way that I looked at it was, okay, there's no point in talking to the Republicans. I should talk to the unaffiliated one, because there's 200,000. I mean, there's 200,000 registered Democrats, but 179,000 unaffiliated voters. 179,000 unaffiliated. So what that tells me is, the Republican Party, straight up, no matter what anybody says, no matter what excuse they want to make, it's not because the Democrats are too powerful. The Republicans aren't doing the work, because there shouldn't be that many unaffiliated voters. That means those are people that can't make up their mind, whether they're Democrat or Republican, or they're checked out of both sides, and or they've never been touched at all and could care less, and they're just happy to live here. You know, my parents were like that. My parents came to America and they were like, hey, listen, we're just happy to be American. Like, I don't even care about voting. Like, they just didn't vote at all. Last year was the first time in my mother's entire time here in the United States, almost 35 years, where she actually voted. She voted for me and she voted for Trump.
I was going to ask, did she vote for you?
Yeah, of course. I'd be upset if she didn't vote. When I saw this, I was like, okay. So in this race, and the same numbers you're talking about, I saw that. I was like, okay, well, there's no point in talking to the Republicans. Not that I'm going to abandon them, but they're going to come out. Historically and statistically, they're going to come out. So my whole focus was on talking to the unaffiliated voters. From the beginning of the race in March all the way up until about August, I was all by myself. I didn't have a team. Like, I built my own website, handled all the marketing, did all the flyers, was doing events. And I was, you know, kind of knocking doors, but not really, because of the COVID situation. And nobody really fully had a grasp of what exactly was going on with this virus. So even I was treading carefully. You know, nobody really knew. It wasn't until about late September where I got a campaign manager. We started to build a little team of about 8 or 9 people, and then we kind of just took off from there. And despite that, we shifted 33,000 plus votes and ended up with 98,000. I can't remember what the final bit was, but it was about 98,000 we ended off with. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, this man is not as powerful as he is. This man can bleed. But then I noticed something else that was odd about that race. He's never gotten more than 165,000 votes, but this past election, he got 202,000, which would mean literally every single Democrat in the district had to vote for you to win, which is statistically impossible. But let's just say that this happened, right? Let's look at some facts here. At the time, the state chairman for the Democratic Party, his name is John Curry. The Passaic County, which is the county that Patterson is in, the Democratic chairman for Passaic County, can you guess what his name was?
No.
John Curry. All right. Now, the Patterson Board of Elections, Passaic County Board of Elections chairman for 2020. Can you guess what his name was?
I'm going to go with John Curry.
It was John Curry. Right. So John Curry was in charge of the elections for Passaic County, in charge of the state Democrats, and in charge of the Passaic County Democrats. Right. And they're all working hand in hand. I find that to be some kind of crazy coincidence, because how would the numbers look if he ended off with, let's say, 180,000? Let's say I still lost. Right. And he ended with 180,000 or 160,000 like he normally does. And this guy got 98,000 out of nowhere. Yeah, that means Bill Pascrell could bleed. and he's not an immortal like people think he is. And there's a lot of other races in this district where there were some very, very shady numbers that were going around. But I can assure you, there was fraud going on in Patterson. I've seen people selling their ballots on Broadway. People were selling them off for $10, $15 a pop, like it was nothing. You know, even earlier in the year, there were some issues with voter fraud and council races. People were throwing ballots behind another one of the cities in our district, North Arlington. They found them in the trash behind the bank. There were a lot of inconsistencies in this past election. Yet the Democrats will tell you it was the most secure election in American history. Like, just straight up lie to you.
Yeah, because so, their urban political machines controlled it.
Oh, yeah. And when I saw that, I was like, you know, I absolutely have to run again in 2022. This man's not as powerful as he says he is. I wasn't prepared for this voter situation, vote by mail type situation. So let's do it. Now, people also make the excuse, well, the reason why there's a normal, you probably didn't really get those numbers. You got to remember this was a presidential year, and that's why your numbers were so high and you did so good because Trump and all that. I'm like, sure, we could say all that, but are we really going to ignore that about Obama and about Bush and about all the other previous presidents that happened? It's like, statistically, Republicans did not come out.
Yeah.
You know, so I firmly believe I got those numbers because I didn't target Republicans. I targeted the unaffiliated. You know, I called the unaffiliated. I went to the unaffiliated houses, and that's what worked. So I know for a fact, if we're willing to put in the work, especially in not just Patterson, but in all these inner city areas, if we're willing to put in the work, we can flip this state 100%. But until we go into the inner cities, the fraud's going to continue. They're going to continue to vote Democrat. And the unaffiliated is going to sit home and do nothing. And the Republicans are going to vote the same way and nothing changes.
Well, I'm here in New York, so I know exactly what you mean because I see the same thing constantly here. And if the Republican Party bosses weren't so stupid, they would actually go into these neighborhoods because these are winnable voters. They want their lives improved. You know, when we look at things like inflation that's through the roof, when we look at the idea of gas prices continuing to increase, people paying more for food, and in certain inner city neighborhoods because of what took place over the course of the last year, you've had a lot of stores that have ended up getting shut down because of the COVID rules. Then you had the protests that led to looting and rioting and buildings being burned down. So the inner city communities have suffered, and there is an opening if we take it. As far as your platform, what do you want to do if you do succeed, if you do get into Congress? What are you looking for Republicans to do to make the lives of people better in all communities, regardless of color?
So two things. First off, before I answer that question, I want to go back to what you said about the Republican bosses, party bosses being stupid. They're not stupid. These people are extremely intelligent, and they know exactly what they're doing. I'll give you an example. The Passaic County chairman, Peter Murphy, he told me straight up in 2020, St. Patrick's Day, we're not going to back you. We're going to give you the line, but we're not going to give you any money. We're not going to support you. You're just not going to beat Bill Pascrell. Why don't you go into Patterson and like help build the Republican Party for us? Basically to keep him right where he's at. Yeah. Right, keep him in control. He also later admitted, this is last month, I have it on video, it's on my Facebook, you can take a look at it, where he got up on stage and stated that Bill Pascrell is his friend and Bill Pascrell is his relative and that he's going to concede Patterson and Passaic to the Democrats. While I'm sitting in the room, I'm the guy that's running against your opponent. You told the room full of 200 Republicans in Clifton that you're conceding two of the largest cities to the Democrats. This guy's your friend, and he's your relative. What kind of message are you trying to send to the party,
number one? And why are you leading the party?
Well, and that's my point. See, the thing is, it's like, it's not that they don't want to go into these areas it's not that they'll go into these areas because they want to win. They're deliberately doing it because he's working with Pascrell. Pascrell helps him get jobs, gets contracts for his friends, and basically greases his pockets. You know, he donates to some of the Republican candidates that they can benefit from. And they do that.
It's the old patronage scam.
Yeah. Like Patterson itself, there's 36 cities in the 9th district. And I know you hear a lot about Patterson. That's because it's the largest city, hands down, in the district. Patterson makes up 35% of the vote. Passaic City makes up 15%. So collectively, that's 50% of the entire. You concede those two cities to the Democrats, you lose automatically. You know, you automatically lose. And the Republicans deliberately, completely stay out of those two areas. The chairman will appoint weak leadership in these small cities. He'll have his guys kind of like do his bidding. And they deliberately keep it this way. The state party at the same time, they're not going to help because they don't want to interfere with their deal. So the Republican Party is comfortable with being paid off to lose. And that's another reason why nothing actually gets done. So I'm a candidate that despite how popular I am, despite how much noise I make, despite how viral my videos go, or how many people resonate with my message, they don't care because they don't want me to win. Even this past year, the Bergen County chairman told me, like, hey, Billy, you shouldn't run in 2022. I think you should drop out. And I said, drop out? Why? And he says, well, I don't want you to lose all your political clout, your political ability. I know you can do really well in politics. And I think you should run for council in Patterson and leave the congressional race out. And I'm like, why would I do that? If I'm going to drop out, who's going to run? Because unless you have somebody that's willing to run like I am, someone that actually lives in this community, that is willing to run in this community and knock the doors that you guys are unwilling to knock, I'm not dropping out of the race. Who do you have that's going to do that? Well, we don't have anybody right now. I was like, are you looking? Well, no, we're not. I said, why do you want me to drop out? Because I don't want you to. And I'm like, no. You don't want me in this race because you will have your insurance deals affected. I know that you're the only Republican in Patterson. You've got insurance deals with Bill Pascrell. He helped facilitate that. So a guy like Bill gets into office, things may change very quickly. So why don't I get inside of his head and get him to drop out of the race? These leaders, they go out of their way to avoid me. They go out of their way to kind of persona non grata Billy. Like, don't even talk to this guy. But it doesn't matter at this point. The people are aware. The people are awake. The people see what's going on. And they see what's happening. There's corruption on both sides of the party. And I would go as far as to say that the Republicans have more to blame for what's going on in the inner city than the Democrats. Because the Democrats, they'll tell you exactly what they're going to do. They're going to do it right to your face. They'll cheat right in front of your face. And nobody's going to stop them. Why? There's no Republican pushback. There's not even an unaffiliated or libertarian pushback. We at least have the framework as Republicans, but we turn a blind eye because they'll take money instead. And then they're trying to sell a candidate trying to work.
We see the same thing in New York. As a matter of fact, it got to the point where we now have Republicans that have just said, you know what? Screw the actual party here. In, you know, whether it's Queens County, whether it's in Brooklyn or the Bronx, Manhattan, they're now doing their own thing. They're building out a new grassroots Republican Party. And you're showing what real leadership is all about. This is what leadership is. It's taking the initiative to go out there to buck the trend because you feel that you can make a difference. So I really applaud you on your efforts. Where can people find you?
People can find information about the campaign by searching Billy Prempa on social media. That's B-I-L-L-Y. Last name is P-R-E. M for Mary, P-E-H, or BillyPrempa.com. All my social sites will be connected on there. If they can help us, because I'm literally going up against the machine, you know, sharing information is great. Telling people about the information is great. And if you have it within yourself and you can't do any of that stuff, please consider making a donation if you can, because every single bit helps.
Absolutely. And we're going to have links up at PAS Report. So go to PASReport.com. Connect with Billy from there. You go straight to his campaign website. You can donate on his campaign website from there. Billy, I really appreciate you coming on. I wish you the best of luck, and I certainly want to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me, brother. God bless you.
I wanted to talk with Billy since his last run, and I'm glad I got him on. He's a dynamic person and someone that reflects what ordinary Americans are actually all about. You got to help Billy in any way you can. I have the links up at the PAS Report where you could go to his campaign website. You could donate there. You could also follow him on all the social media platforms. So make sure you check out Billy's stuff. I have a great episode lined up for Monday. It's going to be a great interview. So make sure that you check it out. Before I go, give the PAS Report a 5-star rating. Take 30 seconds to write a review on any of the podcast platforms that allow it. I want to thank you for joining me. I want you to stay safe, and I'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup Podcast.
Have a good one. Bye.
Be sure to rate, share, and subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Also, visit PASReport.com and follow us on Twitter at PAS Report.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into five themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first three boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.